Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I'm a married woman in ministry, and I don't want that to be the sign that people see on me. I left that night yelling at God through the parking lot going, I don't know what you're talking about, God. I don't know what else there is that I have to die to. I've already died to all these things. And would I ever have the strength of character to treat that person the way that he treated me?
I'm Jim Burns. For many teens and preteens, the decision to become a Christ follower often happens at youth group or at a church camp. But for Shannon Etheridge, it happened on the third day of her junior year in high school as she stood over the lifeless body of the woman she had just run into with her car and killed. Shannon Etheridge has experienced unconditional love in an amazing way, not from only God, but also from the husband of the woman who died after being hit by the car Shannon was driving. It's an incredible story. And Shannon joins me here in studio today to talk about what she's learned about faith and forgiveness as a result of that particular accident. Loving God Without Limits is our topic today on Homeward, and it's going to be a very compelling program. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Few guests have been on this program like Shannon Etheridge that had the kind of impact that Shannon does and that Shannon has had and will continue to have on our listeners. Very, very candid, very forthright. She's got a book series out called Completely His that really is kind of autobiographical in nature. And during the next half hour, you're going to hear Shannon's comments with Dr. Jim Burns as they have a conversation about loving God without limits. Hey, I want to thank you for your limitless support and prayer support of Homeward and also your financial gifts as well. If you can give a gift of $25 or $50, even $100 right now, it'll go a long way toward helping our ministry get through the summer. Give that gift at homeward.com. And now here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. A great day today. Shannon Etheridge is back with us. We're talking about loving God without limits. A great conversation from actually a great book. It's called Completely His. It's just out. Loving Jesus Without Limits, Completely His. She's one of the nation's top advocates for sexual integrity, author of several award-winning books, The Every Young Woman's Battle, Preparing Your Daughter for Every Young Woman's Battle, and Every Woman's Marriage, and lots more. Married to Greg for 16 years. They have two children. They live in Texas. Shannon, welcome back to our program.
Great to be back.
Well, it's great to have you in here. You know, you just light up our room, and we enjoy your conversation so much. And, you know, I read your books. I'm admitting that to our listening audience that I read these, you know, women chick books. But, you know, and I learn so much. But I also learn a lot about you because, as we were talking before the program, you write by telling, in many ways, your story. But there was a story that I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And I was on a plane recently reading this, and I actually teared up, I'll have to admit. Mm-hmm. You know, it was August 29th. It was 1984. But your life changed forever, and so did the lives of Marjorie and Gary Jarstfer. It was kind of day three in your junior year in high school. You were driving there, and you decided to put some lipstick on, which, you know, so many people do. What happened?
Yeah. Well, all of a sudden, I felt my car jolt suddenly, and I realized within a split second I'd hit something, and I was thinking maybe it was a farm animal out of its pastures. We were out in the country. I got my car stopped, and I ran back to see what I had hit. And, Jim, I just stood there trembling in shock over the body of a curly-headed woman laying face down in the grass with a mangled bicycle next to her. You know, my first inclination was to want to turn her over to see if I could help her, but I knew I couldn't waste precious time in calling for an ambulance. And so I ran to the nearest house and dialed 911 and then called my home and asked my mother to come to drive down the road until she saw me. And I just didn't have the heart to tell her anything else. And so she arrived within a matter of minutes, and she starts running up to me with her own tears of panic. And together we waited there for 45 minutes for the ambulance to arrive. And when the ambulance driver looked at her, he just coldly announced there's nothing that he could do, that we'd have to call a funeral home ambulance because she'd most likely been killed on impact.
Mm-hmm. So here you are, junior. You're going through something that you had never even dreamed in your worst nightmare. And, you know, Marjorie Jarstfer was there lying dead. You walked away without a scratch.
Yeah, the really strange thing is when I got in my little brown Plymouth Champ that morning, I had this thought, ought to put on my seatbelt. And I'm embarrassed to say I wasn't in the habit of doing that as a 16-year-old girl. But I did. I put it on. And when I went outside after the accident, after I'd gotten back to the house to look at the damage to my car, I noticed how the roof line on the passenger side was touching the floorboard in the back seat. And that was the power of the impact that her bicycle had on the car. And I thought, if one of my friends had asked for a ride to school that morning, they would have been split in half. But the driver's side, it looked as if there had just been this invisible shield of protection around it. And I walked out of there without a scratch at all.
Wow. Shortly after Marjorie's death was confirmed, you received a call from a friend of her family. Talk about the incredible words that he spoke to you.
Well, he called and he said his name was Jerry Spate, and I didn't know him, but he said that he was a neighbor of the Jarsfors and that he had driven to McKinney, Texas to tell Gary that his wife had been killed by a 16-year-old driver. And my heart sunk because I was thinking, now they know that she's dead and they probably want me dead too. Mm. And he said, but Shannon, I want you to know that his first response was, how is the girl? Was she hurt? And does she know it's not her fault? Mm. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And then he proceeded to tell me, as a matter of fact, Gary Jarsfor wanted me to come to their home the next evening, the night before the funeral, so that our families could meet one another. And I just, of course, I felt like I was being invited to come before the firing squad. And I wanted to decline the invitation, but I knew that I couldn't. I knew that I had to face this family. And so I did.
So you're a junior. It's been a couple of days since Marjorie died. You had hit her on a bike, didn't see her. And now you're going to this home. Gary is there, another family members, and a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Well, as I approached the door, I was just trembling like a leaf and just fighting back the tears. And I just saw down the entry corridor this big, burly, middle-aged man. And he came running toward me, not with animosity in his eyes, but with his arms open wide. And he just wrapped his arms around me and just held me in the tightest embrace for the longest time. And my tears were just flowing onto his flannel shirt. And I just kept repeating over and over, I am so sorry. And once we regained our composure, he escorted me into the living room and he sat me down in a bay window. And he said, Shannon, I invited you over here tonight because I want to tell you about Marjorie's life. He said, she was a very godly woman and we have served many years with Wycliffe Bible Translators. And he said, there was no limit to how much she loved the Lord. And said, as a matter of fact, she had such a close, intimate relationship with God. She's been telling me for some time now that she sensed the Lord was about to take her home. That she left for her morning bike ride every morning and kissed him goodbye as if it may be the last time she ever saw him. That she had even taken out additional life insurance just months prior to the accident. And that she had shared her testimony in church that previous Sunday, talking about how she was ready to go be with the Lord anytime. And he said, Shannon, I'm telling you all of this because I want you to let God use you through this. He said, it caught you by surprise. It caught me by surprise, but it didn't catch God by surprise. He said, he wants to use you. He said, as a matter of fact, I am passing Marjorie's legacy of being a godly woman onto you. He said, I want you to learn to love Jesus without limits too.
Yeah. And at this point, you weren't the Shannon Etheridge that we know and love.
No, at that point, I was still the very promiscuous teenage girl who was looking for love in all the wrong places. And when he said those things, of course, I had no idea what they meant. I just knew there was something very wonderful about Gary's love relationship with the Lord and obviously Marjorie's love relationship with the Lord. And I wanted to get to know my Creator that way.
It's incredible. Of course, everybody in this studio, hundreds of thousands of people right now have a tear in their eyes, including me. But that wasn't it. I mean, the local district attorney's office wanted to press charges against you for vehicle manslaughter. Mm-hmm. But Gary insisted they drop the charges without a trial. I mean, how did that affect your life?
Yeah, over and over, I kept waiting for him to execute justice. And over, he kept choosing mercy, not just with dismissing the case, but also he was informed that there was something with the ambulance service that just prior to that accident, they had made a decision that they would no longer service calls outside the city limits, which we were just outside the city limits. And if we hadn't had to wait 45 minutes, you know, there was a question of, could she have been saved? And someone asked him, are you going to sue the ambulance company? And he said, there's absolutely no reason for a lawsuit, that she was killed on impact. And then a reporter approached him saying, you could probably sue her family for a lot more money than their insurance company paid you. And Gary's response was, what purpose would that serve? What would making their lives more miserable do for me? He said, there's no reason for any kind of suit at all. And as a matter of fact, Jim, for 23 years, this man has just been a mentor in my life. He's just been one of my biggest cheerleaders and strongest advocates. And I hate it that this accident happened, and if I could undo it, I would certainly undo it in a heartbeat, but I have often said that if it had to happen with any family on the planet, I am so thankful it was with the Jarsfer family, because I learned so much about God through it all.
Right. We're all learning about God from this. You know, you called it a burning bush experience that you had behind the wheel that day. I'm crying too now. It's kind of a first on Homeward here. You say you learned three things about God from that. You remember what those were?
Well, number one, I learned that he is not some distant disciplinarian, that he is a God who wants to have a personal relationship with me, that he is a God who loves me passionately and knows me intimately, everything about me, but loves me anyway, and that his nature is that he always, always chooses mercy over justice, that his long arm of mercy is so long that it can reach down into the deepest pit that we dig for ourselves and set our feet back on solid rock.
Not only would typically somebody like yourself who had that experience go down a different track, but, you know, I want to meet Gary one day and, you know, give that man a hug and a kiss on his forehead for the incredible. He was Jesus with skin on it in many ways to you.
He was, and it's such a powerful thing. He actually wrote the afterword in the book, and he said that on his drive back to McKinney, which he was offered a ride back, and he said no, he wanted just the time to think by himself, and that he really sensed God saying to him, you need to choose your words very carefully, and that you need to respond to the situation the same way that Marjorie would if the tables were turned and you had been killed, and that he saw this conversation as an opportunity to bless me instead of to blame me, that he wanted the words that he spoke to me to be in accordance with God's will for my life. He said, because I recognized that if I said the wrong thing, it could be devastating to her entire life.
Amazing, amazing. Burning bush experience. Listen, we're talking today with Shannon Etheridge. We're talking about completely his, loving Jesus without limits. Our theme today, loving God without limits. It's possible.
Completely His is the name of the series, and we've got it up on our website today at homeward.com. When you go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast tab, and then for today's program, you'll see Shannon's name listed as the guest, and you can click on her name. It takes you right to her website, and you can learn all about her writing, her speaking, the conferences that she holds for aspiring writers as well. She's such an encouragement to so many people, and we're grateful to have Shannon here on the program. As we continue, we'll conclude today's edition of the Homeward broadcast with more of Jim Burns' conversation with Shannon Etheridge, so keep it right here.
The word for the day is authenticity. This is Jim Burns of Homeward with Real Life Answers. I'm finding that this generation is crying out for integrity and authenticity. Well, that can be sobering news for the church, because many studies at the same time are telling us that authentic Christianity is at an all-time low. Here's what that means. If you say, I believe in Jesus, well, there should be a difference between your life and someone who doesn't believe. As followers of Jesus, you should not always blend in totally to the culture. You'll see that in the way we conduct our businesses, how we treat our spouses, and frankly, how we raise our children. The Bible says that an authentic Christian loves and obeys the Word of God. It's what being authentic is all about. I love what the Apostle John wrote at the end of his life. He said, little children, do not love with words or with your tongue, but love in deed, in action, in truth. In other words, actions speak louder than words. With Real Life Answers, I'm Jim Burns of Homeward.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Shannon Etheridge with us. We're talking about loving God without limits, and actually one of the most incredible stories I have ever heard. In fact, if you've just joined us, then the emotion is very different than on a typical Homeward day. Talking about Shannon's life and how it changed forever. On August 29th, 1984, she was in an auto accident where she was driving, and she actually hit a woman, and the woman died. And the incredible response of a God-honoring man, Gary Jarstafor, who has shown her nothing but love, and in many ways has been kind of an adopted father image to her in a very special way. You know, Shannon, that is part of the story. I want to come back to that in a little bit. But the fact is that what you just said to me at the break, is you said, you know, what I really hope for is that people have an intimate relationship with God. Mm-hmm. This is a part of it. We have experiences that either draw us closer to God or draw us away from God. And sometimes we have an experience like this one that actually didn't immediately draw you to God forever and ever. Amen. Right. You know, you went through a time of a real tough time in your own life. So you had this experience, but yet at the same time, you were struggling with, notice me, who am I? You're going through a lot of the same adolescent issues that so many kids today have that you and I both care so much about. Sure. So you had this experience, but yet at the same time, you kept going in a direction that really wasn't necessarily the direction you're in today.
It's been a long transformation process, and I think more and more that it's as I continued sailing through all of those stormy relationships that more and more I was recognizing that this unconditional love that Gary Jarshford had shown to me, that this is the kind of love that God has for me. And just that coming into that understanding that God really does want to have an intimate relationship with us where he doesn't hold anything against us. And I think a lot of the things that held me back from God was just those overwhelming feelings of guilt over what I had already done, sexually and rebelling against my parents and all of those things. But just recognizing that, no, God isn't going to let anything come between he and I. That just the way that Gary Jarshford didn't look at me with animosity in his eyes, but with his arms open wide, that is the stance that God has toward me. And if I were to run away from that, I knew what other relationships were like. I knew that the pain and the emptiness and the low self-esteem of trying to find love out in the world, and just recognizing God calling me into that warm embrace and basking in his love, that again just was an anchor in my life that I just kept coming back to over and over again.
Gary Jarshford, let me ask a question. How could he do that? I mean, there are so many people, even wonderful people, who might not have done it that way. Talk about him for just a moment.
Well, I have often just envisioned that if something like that were to happen in my own family, if someone were to hit and kill my husband or one of my children, would I ever have the strength of character to treat that person the way that he treated me? And Lord, I hope that is the case. But I do frequently question, how did he get the strength to respond in that way? And there is just no other explanation other than it being God. There's just absolutely no explanation.
And literally, that is a supernatural love that he showed you. And how interesting, I'm one who believes in the sovereignty of God, and somehow God saved you from that car accident because of, how you had put the seatbelt on, and here you were walking away without a scratch, and yet he had a plan for you. Here you are talking to hundreds of thousands of people. Your books are selling, so much, and so many people are being helped. And in many ways, Marjorie goes with you.
Absolutely. And one of the things that Gary said in the afterword was that Marjorie was also a teacher and an aspiring writer, and that he feels as if she would be so very pleased to see the topics that I'm tackling, topics about female sexuality and intimacy with Christ, and that in a lot of ways, Jim, I really do. I feel as if I'm carrying her legacy on, and it's a huge responsibility, but it's not a burden at all. It's a blessing. Right. Just the more that I have learned about her through the years, through her children and through Gary, it makes me feel like this is a high and holy calling that I have been given.
That's neat, and I appreciate that. And she has, I believe, in the eternal perspective. I think she understands. I think she's up there smiling, rooting yon. Now, obviously we have other burning bush experiences. You had one on Thursday, February 13th, 1996. It's been neat how you kind of did this in your book, Completely His. You have these different, it's almost like a journal. Mm-hmm. But you had a revelation about feeling that you had someone close to you who was going to die.
Right. It was actually, I'm going to back up a couple minutes. It was December 16th that I sent, well, it wasn't a dream. It was a nighttime experience where I was awake, and there was a storm that started outside, and I was having this conversation with God of, why did you wake me up? And I sensed that someone was about to die. And for 2 months, just had that overwhelming realization that someone is about to die and I better be emotionally prepared for this. And then on February 13th in 1996, I was at a Bible study fellowship meeting, and it was just pouring out my heart to God saying, I don't know who it is that has to die in my home, but whoever it is, go ahead and take them, because I can't stand the limbo any longer. And that night, the lecture leader had us open up our Bibles to John 12:24, that unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it reproduces an entire field of wheat. And at that moment, I knew that God was saying, Shannon, it's you. It's you that has to die, that you have to die to yourself.
Okay. Now, there's a big difference between dying like Marjorie died and dying to yourself.
Yeah.
What was the process? What did you learn?
Well, I left that night yelling at God through the parking lot going, I don't know what you're talking about, God. I don't know what else there is that I have to die to. I've already died to all these things. And the next day, I had a lunch appointment scheduled with my aerobics instructor, who is a very attractive male who just lavished attention on me during my aerobics classes. And at lunch, he said to me, do you want to know why I invited you here? And I said, well, yeah. And he said, it's because you have a neon sign on your forehead. And I said, well, what does it say? And he said, it says that you're hungry for attention and affection. And I said, well, how do I get that off? Because I'm a married woman in ministry, and I don't want that to be the sign that people see on me. And he said, do you really want to know how to get it off? You have to die to yourself. And I just thought, oh, has he been a fly on the wall of my brain the past 2 months? Or did God send an angel in a tank top to reveal something to me that I wasn't understanding myself? And I just said, James, how do I die to myself? I really need to know. And he proceeded to tell me, Shannon, you come to aerobics class dressed not to sweat, but to make other men sweat. And that this is the countenance that you're exuding. And I know that that's not what you want, but you need to be aware of it. And he was the one who first called my attention to the fact that I probably had a lot of struggles in my childhood dealing with sex and love that still needed to be resolved. And that was what catapulted me into counseling.
Isn't that something? So the counseling brought you to a place where you realized that you needed an intimate relationship and an intimate walk with God?
Yeah. And that night after that conversation, I went home and told Greg every word and was just, you know, crying, saying, you know, do you see this in me as well? And Greg started crying and he said, Shannon, I've been praying for 5 years. We had been married for 5 years at that point. He said, I've been praying for 5 years that someone would come into your life and show you these things about yourself. He said, I haven't had the words to help you understand it, but I knew that God would send an angel or someone to help you see yourself as other people see you.
Hmm. Incredible statement. And in many ways, these experiences that we've been talking about today have given birth to really God's dreams in your life.
Mm-hmm. I feel as if God has implanted so many of his dreams in my life and that I've been given the privilege to diligently labor on his behalf to bring these dreams to life. And it's been painful. I mean, anytime you go through a childbirth experience, it's painful. And with a spiritual birth, it is also just as painful. But the same way that a mother is so overwhelmed with joy when she finally gets to hold that baby in her arms, I'm overwhelmed with joy as I see these books and as I read these emails about the impact spiritually that it's having in other people's lives. And so I feel very, very privileged to get to deliver these messages. And sometimes it's very hard to talk about your weaknesses and vulnerabilities so openly and honestly with people, especially with sex and love addiction. But I feel as if, you know, the more I go through that pain, the greater the childbirth experience and the more glory is brought to God.
When you say to somebody, you know, maybe they didn't have a burning bush experience like you, but they have burning bush experiences. I mean, maybe they were raped, molested as, you know, young people. Somebody's walked out on them in a marriage. You know, alcoholism. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Sure.
What do they do to have the kind of experience that you've now had? How do they take that bad experience and turn it into a good thing?
You have to recognize that the point of your greatest misery in life can also be the point of your greatest ministry in life. There are thousands of people out there who have suffered through what you have suffered through because no temptation has seized you but what is common. And so anything that you've ever struggled with, anything that's ever happened to you, there's someone else who needs to know your recipe for survival. You start sharing that recipe for survival, as T.D. Jakes calls it, and you're going to draw other people to you. And that is your opportunity to represent God and to wear Christ's name tag and to be Jesus with skin on to them.
That's great. And we don't have to do it out of perfection. We do it oftentimes out of some of our pain.
Out of our brokenness.
Right. And before freedom comes pain. So sometimes you have to face that. Well, thanks for being with us. We've got to ask you to come back next time so we can continue this conversation.
That'd be great.
Shannon Etheridge, we're talking about loving God without limits.
And I love something that Shannon said earlier in the conversation. I want to circle back around to that just briefly here as we conclude this part of the Homeward program, where she said that in crisis situations, our thought is that God wants to blame us. And oftentimes, instead of blaming us, he wants to bless us. And I think that's at the heart of this story. If you missed any part of this conversation, of course, remember we stream audio at homeward.com, and that is absolutely free. It doesn't cost you anything. And Jim, I know this is a story that many of our listeners will want to hear if they're just hearing this for the first time, because Shannon has been a regular here on this program going back to 2004 when we first started the daily edition of this program. It's the first time we ever had a chance to sit down and let her walk through this truly remarkable story.
You know, a lot of us have markers. Obviously, hopefully, it's not Shannon's story of, you know, a woman dying. But we do have markers. And what Shannon did was she took something tragic and she turned it into something that changed her life for the better. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us can do that. And we have to teach our kids that. Crisis is self-defined. But again, what I appreciate is even as a teenager, Shannon was able to turn this around. Her life then was not perfect.
Right.
But this became a major part of her life. You know, as parents, I think it's important for us to make sure that we try to help our kids take experiences in life and then in some ways create a spiritual roadmap for them.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon had to kind of do this on her own a little bit.
Yeah.
But as parents, the better thing for us to do is to look for a roadmap. Many of us try to do parenting by circumstance and chance. What we really have to do is begin to develop this roadmap. I think the roadmap, as I've said on this program before, is found in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. It's called the Shema. In the Hebrew, it literally means to listen or to hear, and it's the foundation of our faith. It says that, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength." It then goes on to tell you how you do that by impressing this on your children. Well, this Shema, if you would, is a pivotal point for spiritual growth in your family. And it's impossible to love God without limits if the Shema is not at the heartbeat of your family's spiritual pulse.
And that's why it may seem kind of counterintuitive. If you go to homeward.com, one of the resources we do offer actually is the mezuzah kit. And it's got a mezuzah that's got the Shema tucked in the back of it. It's something that it's been a hallmark of Jim's ministry for years. And we highly recommend that you have one actually prominently displayed in your home. You don't have to get a big one. A very subtle one will do. But it just reminds people of the Deuteronomy 6 passage and how you're proclaiming your home for the Lord. It's a great way to remind your kids and to kind of bless people who come into your household as well. Thank you so much for listening to Homeward. Thank you for your prayers and faithful financial support. If you can give a gift today, we would love to hear from you. Write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.